What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. In life, everybody makes mistakes, but in fantasy football, there are 6 specific rookie mistakes that a lot of your buffoon league mates are going to make, and you want to avoid making yourself. So we are not going to waste any time. We're going to break down some of the biggest mistakes that new fantasy players make. Leave a like if you enjoy, subscribe if you enjoy, comment down below. I'll answer it. Let's get into mistake number 1, and the biggest mistake I see new fantasy players make is drafting a second quarterback or a second tight end if they've already spent up at the position, specifically in home leagues that are not super flex, not tight end premium type of formats. If you guys are new to fantasy, I definitely understand where this temptation comes from, but here is an easy way to follow this rule. If you have already spent up at the quarterback position or at the tight end position, at quarterback, we're talking Dak Prescott and up in current ADP. At tight end, we're talking George Kittle and up at current ADP. Do not draft a second option. In leagues where it's regular scoring, it's not a super flex, it's not a two tight end league, is what I'm talking about specifically. But this is how the casual fantasy player thinks. Let's say they draft CJ Stroud in round 5 of their fantasy drafts. You are inherently making the bet that CJ Stroud will be a positional advantage by spending premium top 5 round draft capital on a quarterback. Therefore, if CJ Stroud, let's say, busts, you're going to have a hard time making up that ground anyways because you already spent a really high pick on him. So there's no need, in my opinion, to invest an 11th round pick into Jared Goff. If CJ Stroud busts or if he gets injured, there's a good chance you're going to have an uphill battle to win your league anyway. If he does miss a couple of games, you can stream off the waiver wire, you can trade for an additional quarterback, or trade CJ Stroud himself for another quarterback option to upgrade. And if you're thinking, oh, what about CJ Stroud's bye week? What am I going to do when he's on bye? Please do not draft a backup quarterback just to cover your quarterback's bye week. Week 14 specifically is when CJ Stroud is on bye in this example. You head to the waiver wire in week 14. You go pick up Baker Mayfield. You pick up Derek Carr. You pick up Drake May. You pick up Bo Nix, whoever you need to pick up just to get by for that week. And that would be the only time that you would have a second quarterback on your roster throughout the duration of the year. If you draft a second quarterback or a second tight end after spending premium capital on this position, you are essentially wasting a roster spot by holding a second quarterback. Say, for example, you miss out on the elite quarterbacks and you take Tua Tagovailoa instead of spending up at that position, Jared Goff, maybe Matthew Stafford, somebody later in the draft. I'm okay spending a late round pick on an upside swing like Deshaun Watson or like Drake May at the end of my draft if you did not spend up at that position. So if you spend a top 8 round pick on a quarterback, don't draft a second one. If you spend an 11th round pick on a quarterback, then it's okay, in my opinion, to spend maybe a late round dart throw on Deshaun Watson, see what you have early in the season, and then cut bait with him and churn the waiver wire. But if you do spend that early pick on a quarterback or a tight end, you always want to be rolling with one of those position groups. And the same is true for tight end. If you draft George Kittle or better, that is your guy. If he goes down or he sucks this year, there's a good chance you're not going to win your league anyway. And in the meantime, you can stream the tight end position off the waiver wire. You could potentially make a trade for one if you need to upgrade that position. There are plenty of outs in home leagues to be able to take care of those position groups. I would be comfortable with David Njoku up in the ADP going as my only tight end option for the rest of the season. But of course, if you do punt tight end, just like I said with quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, those type of guys, you can draft a second one. If you say, for example, punted tight end all the way to Pat Freiermuth and you wanted to take an upside swing on Noah Fant later, it's all about how you allocate your pick capital. That is the big mistake a lot of fantasy players make. You spend a third round pick on a quarterback. You should not draft a quarterback for the rest of the draft. You do not want to burn bench spots if you draft a upside onesie very early on in your draft. So mistake number 2 is hammering running backs in the dead zone is a major mistake that a lot of new fantasy players make. We have talked about the running back dead zone a lot this offseason in our strategy videos, which you can check out. So I will keep this brief for new viewers. The running back dead zone, if you don't know what it is, refers to rounds 4 to round 7, about running back 15 to 25 in ADP positionally, where the hit rates are poor at the running back position. The types of running backs that go in the dead zone are guys that we think will get elite volume, like Miles Sanders last year, for example, or Alexander Mattison last year, for example. The dead zone, in my opinion, this year starts with older running backs who are probably washed, like Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, David Montgomery, James Conner, guys like that is where the running back dead zone is this year. If those running backs go off the board in round 3 or round 4 of your fantasy draft, then the dead zone is alive and well in the league that you guys play in. If those guys slide to round 6, round 7, where they go in sharper leagues like underdog, then the dead zone theory is definitely less applicable. The running backs inside the dead zone hit at just a 35.56% rate since the year 2015, as opposed to the wide receiver position, who hit at a 47% rate in that same area of the draft. And not only that, the running back position actually hits at a higher rate in rounds 8 to 10 than it does in rounds 4 to 7, because you don't need nearly as big of a hit to return on that ADP cost. The NFL is the law of averages. It does not produce 25 RB1 upside players every single offseason, every single regular season. There's usually 5 to 10 guys who separate themselves among the rest of the running back position. Obviously, our goal is to predict which 5 to 10 guys those are, but the guys that stand above the rest and the remainder of the NFL just running back by committee and kind of using any running back interchangeably is how you get caught up in the dead zone theory, because there's not going to be 25 RB1 upside guys in the NFL every year. And in addition, running backs also miss time due to injury more than wide receivers do. As you can see on the screen, they miss about 3 games per season, as well as getting a serious injury about 20% of the time, as compared to wide receiver, where those miss rates or those injury rates are a lot lower. So this is why we don't take 3 to 4 shots in the running back dead zone. We don't draft 2 wide receivers to start our draft and an elite quarterback and say, oh crap, I got to catch up at running back now. I'm going to draft 4 straight running backs round 4 to 7. You're walking right into the dead zone. Statistically, it is proven to be the better play to take your running back early, avoid the round 4 to 7 range. And if you still don't have running backs, let's say you started a 0 RB and you have no running backs through 7 to 8 rounds, then you hammer out running backs late on in the draft, churn the waiver wire, make some trades later on, whatever you have to do. So if you are a new fantasy player and you only have 1 running back through the first 6-7 rounds of your fantasy draft, or maybe even 0 running backs before round 4 or 5, don't panic. Your goal at this point is to just draft the best player available. You can always make trades. You can always add waiver claims. You can always take late round shots at the running back position. Your goal at this point in time is to win the other positions on your roster. If it's a 1 quarterback, 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 2 flex, 1 tight end league, you want to win every other fantasy position on your roster other than running back to make your team as best as it can possibly be. Take the best player available always. If that dictated that you only took 1 running back through 7 to 8 rounds, guess what? You just drafted a hero RB team, and we have an entire group of strategy videos on our YouTube playlist there to check out if you want to draft hero RB, double hero RB, or 0 RB teams. The goal is to be strong at quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, and your flexes, especially in any kind of PPR format, and avoid the running back dead zone in the process. So mistake number 3, this is a huge one. Poor bench construction is one of the easiest ways to sacrifice upside of your team absolutely crushing your league mates in fantasy. And the reason that people construct their benches poorly is by spending late round picks on middling options. And this kind of goes hand in hand with drafting quarterbacks and tight end backups to go along with your elite quarterback and your elite tight end, because there is definitely a right and a wrong way to construct your fantasy bench. In traditional home leagues, keep this in mind, there is absolutely no consequence for missing on late round picks. There is absolutely no consequence for churning the waiver wire. It costs you nothing to miss on your 13th round pick, go to the waiver wire, and pick up a different guy the next week. There is no consequence. So think about it. If you missed big on every single late round pick that you had last year, rounds 10 through rounds 15, for example, all you would have to do after week 2 or week 3 of the season, when you know those guys are misses, is start picking up different players on the waiver wire. Your roster on the bench is going to look completely different 2 or 3 weeks into the season than it looks at the end of your draft. This is my home league draft last year, to give you guys an example, and I missed on a lot of my late round picks, as is the case with late round picks. Hit on 2 of those guys. Obviously, Devon Achane was awesome last year and he crushed, but even AJ Dillon was a valuable handcuff because Aaron Jones got hurt early in the season. But the rest of the team, you know, Deion Jackson, Kendre Miller, Sean Tucker, Antonio Gibson weren't on my roster 2 weeks into the season because I was churning the waiver wire and grabbing upside players every single week on the waivers. And this is Amir's team, a guy in my league who won the league last year. Aside from hammering dead zone running backs, which we're going to look aside from for a second, he missed on pretty much every single one of his late round picks as well, excluding Jaylen Warren. Every single one of these guys was not valuable last year. Dalvin Cook, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Chase Claypool. These were pretty much all misses for his team, and he still was able to win the league because obviously his starting roster was good and he was able to churn the waiver wire. So in best ball, a little bit of a different story because guys like Josh Palmer and Wandale Robinson and these low upside plays can give you spike weeks in a format where you don't have to choose who to start and who to sit. But in sleeper, ESPN, Yahoo, NFL Fantasy, CBS leagues, your goal is to spend late round picks on upside only guys, guys that can eventually crack your lineup if they hit their upper range of outcomes. Because if you miss, you just cut bait and you churn the waiver wire. So let's say through nine rounds on your fantasy roster, you have two running backs, you have five wide receivers, elite tight end, and elite quarterback. At this point, your league is, let's say, a one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, two flex, one tight end league. Your starters are complete, and you even have an extra wide receiver on your roster. You are now free to draft completely for upside. Take backup running backs, take ambiguous backfields, take rookie running backs, take rookie wide receivers, take young upside wide receivers. Running backs hit at over a 10% win rate late in drafts, about 25% of the time versus 18% of the time for wide receivers. So for me, the late round dart throws that I usually take are on running backs. Take shots on handcuffs like Tyler Allgeier. Draft rookies like Jalen Wright. Draft players from backfields where we don't know what the split will look like Rico Dowdle. If you do draft wide receivers, shoot for upside rookies or young wide receivers. Since 2017, these have been the best late round wide receivers that you guys can see on the screen. 44% of them were rookies. So at wide receiver, if you're going to shoot for late round upside, shoot on rookies and maybe a year two or a year three upside play in the rookies, because the only reason they're going late is because of unknowns. And if you can get access to some upside via those unknowns, it's definitely an advantageous play to make. Proper bench construction in shallow league formats, especially to line your bench with upside at wide receiver and at running back, are always a smart investment. Again, if I didn't draft a tight end until round 11, I'd be okay taking a backup tight end. Or if I didn't draft a quarterback until round 13, I would be okay taking another quarterback late. But I personally like allocating just one roster spot, two quarterback and two tight end in traditional one quarterback, one tight end leagues, and then swinging at wide receiver and running back late. This has the great benefit also too, that in season, your bench has a bunch of breakout stars on it and you can't even get them into your lineup. And at that point in time, as I talk about throughout the year in my trade targets videos, you can take, let's say, Zay Flowers, who you drafted in round 5, and Rico Dowdle, who you drafted in round 12, and package them together and trade to upgrade at your starting spot, like Chris Olave, like Drake London. Maybe they get out to a slow start to begin the year, and you can trade Zay Flowers plus Rico Dowdle for one of those guys in season. So upgrading your starting lineup is a big strategy that I like to take throughout the season as it goes along, and a big part of that is proper bench construction, both in season and during your fantasy football draft. So those were the first like three big mistakes for newer fantasy players. The next three mistakes that I'll get into are for kind of more experienced fantasy players, but also newer fantasy players alike. But first, I do want to tell you guys about our sponsor, Aura. I'm sure you've received a bunch of spam calls, spam texts, spam phishing emails, things of that nature. They're extremely annoying, super frustrating. I know I've gotten texts in the past saying that, you know, the Canada Revenue Agency is going to come after me if I don't pay somebody, or an Amazon package has been delivered and I need to put in my credit card information. That stuff is extremely annoying. And Aura is one of the few services out there that can get you off of these email address lists and off of these phone number phishing and robocaller lists. Big companies can't keep your data safe anymore. If you guys check out this recent report here, AT&T revealed that 70 million of their users' social security numbers, call, and text records were breached. Stolen logs also included people who weren't even AT&T customers. They were calling or texting somebody who was, and that's how their information was exposed as well. Using Aura can protect you and your family. Aura alerts you if they find breached data, like your phone number, like your social security number, like your email address, or even your credit card information. They give you fast fraud alerts when people try and use your data. If somebody's trying to use your social security number or your credit card online, they have a 24-hour US-based call center that you can call and make sure that your data is safe. Your credit, your banking information, all of that stuff is protected, especially if you use 1Password or a couple of passwords for everything. Aura can find those passwords that you use that are compromised on the dark web and recommend that you change them. Aura does so much to keep you and your family safe too as well. Like I said, credit transaction monitoring, a VPN, antivirus protection, a password manager, parental controls if you have kids, identity theft insurance if somebody tries to steal your identity. You can get all of this in one app for one affordable price. I don't recommend products or services that I don't believe in. And we took on Aura as a sponsor because I do think that this is an extremely valuable product that can really benefit you guys. Anybody who is located in the United States, I am very much happy to share Aura with them because it can keep your valuable information safe. It can keep your family's information and data safe. So do not leave your data and your family's data vulnerable today. You can get so much value from Aura right now. If you click the link in the description or follow the QR code that you see on your screen right now, you can start a 2-week free trial with Aura, and they can accomplish so much in that 2-week span. You'd be amazed at how much of your family's data was exposed. Get started. Stop leaving yourself vulnerable to data breaches, to robocallers, to spammers, and all the stuff that I mentioned already. Go to aura.com/fantasystockexchange or click the link down below in the description box to start your 2-week free trial today. Want to thank Aura for sponsoring today's video. Let's get in to the next big mistake that everybody makes in fantasy football drafts, specifically newer players. But again, we're talking more experience kind of concepts here. And that is drafting uncorrelated fantasy teams is a big reason why you don't win your fantasy football league. Correlation means so much more in home leagues than people think. Everybody talks about it in best ball, but nobody thinks it matters in home leagues. And if you don't know what I mean by correlation, I'm going to give you 3 examples with why correlation matters a ton in your home leagues and a couple of ways you can actually execute this. So method 1 of correlation is stacking. Obviously, I'm sure you guys probably know what I'm talking about if you're an experienced fantasy player, but if you're new, let's say you love CeeDee Lamb this year. You're going to draft him first overall, second overall, wherever you want to draft him. An easy way to correlate that bet that you're making on CeeDee Lamb, because every pick that you make in your fantasy drafts is inherently a stance or a bet that you're making on that player. An easy way to correlate that bet, if you are right about CeeDee Lamb, to take him as high as you took him, is by drafting Dak Prescott as well. Because if you thought that CeeDee Lamb was going to crush, then there's a good chance his quarterback will also have a good season as well. The two successes are dependent or correlated with each other. That's why this stack was so profitable in 2023, for example. If you had Dak Prescott on your team, 13.8% win rate. If you had CeeDee Lamb on your team, 19.3% win rate. If you had both of them on your team, 28.4% win rate. And as you can see, without CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott wasn't nearly as valuable as he was with CeeDee Lamb. So correlating the number of things that you need to get right minimizes the total number of stances that you are taking. And that means that you only need to be right about a couple of things to actually win your league. You had a 28.4% chance of winning your league just by having CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott on your roster. Your inherent odds of winning a league are 8.3%, or 1 divided by 12. So you tripled your win rate just by having those two players. So if you draft Tyreek this year, consider drafting Tua Tagovailoa later. If you draft Garrett Wilson this year, consider drafting Aaron Rodgers later. Method 2 of correlation is betting on the offense rather than specifically stacking up quarterback and wide receiver or quarterback and tight end. This one is really easy too. If you take Tyreek Hill, 3rd overall in your fantasy draft, you are inherently thinking or betting that the Dolphins will be really good this year. So consider drafting Devon Achane at running back, or Raheem Mostert at running back, or Jalen Wright at running back, or Jonnu Smith at tight end later in the draft. I am personally okay drafting 2 wide receivers from the same team. So for example, you take Tyreek Hill 3rd overall, you draft Brandon Ayuk in the 2nd round, and you take Jalen Waddle in the 3rd. I am okay consolidating my bets on that given offense because, yes, week over week, there's going to be a little bit of volatility, but over the course of the same season, the Tyreek Hill bet and the Jalen Waddle bet are probably heavily correlated because it means that the Dolphins were really good in 2024. Method number 3 of correlating is doubling down when you don't like a player. So back to the CeeDee Lamb example. Let's say you take CeeDee Lamb 1 overall, and the reason you're doing this is because you don't believe in Christian McCaffrey. Your gut tells you he's going to go down with an injury. You would rather take CeeDee Lamb because he's a better bet. Or for example, maybe you like Breece Hall over Bijan Robinson. Whatever your stance is, you can double down on your fade of the player that you didn't take by leveraging their handcuff. If they're a running back, for example, you don't take Bijan, you take Breece instead. You could take Tyler Allgeier later, making yourself right twice that if Bijan does get injured and you thought he was going to get injured, for example, then you are directly and indirectly benefiting from your league mate's misfortune who took Bijan Robinson. And same goes with Christian McCaffrey. You could take Elijah Mitchell or Jordan Mason later on in the draft. So We all have stances for fantasy. I realize that. You guys probably like players that I don't like. I don't like players that you probably like. We all have targets. We all have players we're avoiding. The goal is not just to make yourself right when you get these things correct. It's to make yourself right twice. So like I said, you fade CMC at 101, consider drafting Elijah Mitchell later on in the draft. You fade Bijan Robinson at 106 for Breece Hall, then consider drafting Tyler Allgeier later. Maybe it's within a position group as well. For example, I don't like Keenan Allen this year. I think he's, you know, old, he's out of shape, he's injury prone. I am taking a lot of Romo Dunze as a result. That is leverage against the stance that I'm taking against Keenan Allen, because if Keenan Allen sucks this year, there's a good chance it's because Romo Dunze was really good as well. So keep that in mind when you're making picks, what types of ways you can correlate your bets so that they hit, not only by simply stacking or betting on the offense, but you also potentially make yourself right a second time by betting against the players that you are passing on. So if you think about it from a betting standpoint, it's much easier to hit a 3 or a 4 leg parlay than it is to hit a 10 leg parlay, for example. That is the principle that you're implementing here. And correlation is extremely important, especially in best ball. And if you guys do want to do some best ball drafts, dominate your fantasy league, dominate your home league buddies, head on over to Underdog Fantasy. The best way to get practice for your home league drafts is by doing best ball drafts over there. There's a ton of paid drafts going on. The ADP is really sharp. It gets you a good idea for strategy, gets you a good idea for mock drafts that don't just have bots in them. And also, when you sign up using the promo code FSE and you make a $10 deposit, we will send you our draft guide totally for free. We will send you our draft guide for redraft, our draft guide for dynasty rookie drafts, as well as our rookie all 22 film breakdowns. That'll be in your inbox within 24 hours of you making your first deposit on Underdog. And if you can't play on Underdog, definitely check out flockfantasy.com, promo code FSE over there as well, for all of the information that I just said is all located on that site as well. So mistake number 5, stop drafting your own handcuff. And the reason you should stop drafting your own handcuff is because it's a loser's mentality. Now, people are going to yell at me in the comments, but let me explain before you go ahead and do that. If you draft an early round running back who has a known handcuff, let's say Bijan Robinson has a known handcuff of Tyler Allgeier, keep in mind how hard it is to win a fantasy football league. In a 12-man league, you got an 8.3% chance. In a 14 or a 16-man league, it's even, you know, more than that. If it's a big best ball tournament, it's even harder than that. If it's an 8-man league, of course, you know, you have a little bit easier of a chance of winning. But what you are doing when you make this bet on Bijan Robinson, if you take him, is you are betting on the assumption that he will hit for fantasy this year. Draft as if you are right, even if you are not, because if you are not, you are probably not going to win your league anyway, so it doesn't make sense to double down on that stance and draft Tyler Allgeier just to make sure that if Bijan misses any time, you are covered. What you want to do instead of drafting your own handcuff is drafting other people's handcuffs. Because if their starting running back gets injured, it inherently increases your own win rate because they're losing a specific big part of their team. And it also directly impacts you because you have their handcuff instead of your own handcuff. So if you guys want to profit both directly and indirectly, you will draft other people's handcuffs, especially if they're near yours in ADP. So for example, the biggest handcuff hits in Kyren Williams, Jaylen Warren, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, and Jerome Ford of 2023 were the types of guys that you wanted to hit on late in draft. So let's say that you drafted a solid early round running back like Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry wasn't great last year, but he still finished as a top 15 guy. He hit at an 11.2% rate, which is 2.9% over expected. Derrick Henry's win rate was actually lower if you drafted him with Tajay Spears than if you didn't. And remember, this is best ball data. So if Tajay Spears is on your bench in a best ball league and you have Derrick Henry also, then he has a chance of actually making your lineup if he has a big spike week as the RB2 for that team. Whereas in a managed league, there's more likely a chance that you're not starting Tajay Spears unless Derrick Henry is down with an injury. So if you look at the stack data between Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry with the red arrow at the top there, it is a 0% win rate to have both of them. It was only a 39 team sample size, but when you look at Tajay Spears without Derrick Henry, it was an 11.2% win rate. If you drafted a different handcuff, not your own, Jerome Ford, for example, who obviously was a hit last year because Nick Chubb got injured, then you ended up increasing your win rate to 17.2%. So if you are going to draft handcuffs, it should not be your own. It should be other people's handcuffs. Now, you might be thinking, well, of course, you know, Derrick Henry and the Tajay Spears example works out because the only reason that didn't work was because Derrick Henry didn't miss any time. Okay, let's look at Nick Chubb, who did get injured last year. A prime example would have been draft Jerome Ford behind Nick Chubb in case Nick Chubb went down. And Nick Chubb, in fact, went down last year. So if you had Jerome Ford behind him, that would increase your win rate, right? No, it actually decreased your win rate to have both Nick Chubb and Jerome Ford on your team. You had a 2.1% win rate with Jerome Ford and Nick Chubb on your team, you had a 3.8% chance if you just had Nick Chubb without Jerome Ford. It was lower win rate with Ford than it was without. It would have been a higher win rate instead of taking Jerome Ford had you taken Zach Moss, for example, somebody else's early round running back handcuff, specifically Jonathan Taylor's, who went very close to Nick Chubb in overall ADP. And I would say you also get bonus marks here if you combine tip number 4 and tip number 5, which is correlate your bets and also don't draft your own handcuffs. Because if you, for example, passed on Travis Etienne in favor of Isaiah Pacheco in the late second round of your fantasy draft, then draft Tank Bigsby in round 15. Make yourself right twice by passing on ETN. You'll inherently be a right for taking Pacheco. Making yourself right twice would be maybe the reason you pass on Travis Etienne is because he gets injured and Tank Bigsby takes over his workload. So definitely something to keep in mind when it comes to your fantasy drafts. Tip number 6, do not draft kickers and defense until the final two rounds of your draft. If you're in a fantasy draft, if you're a new fantasy player, the reason you don't want to spend high picks on kickers and on defenses is because they are high variance positions both year over year and week over week. It is very easy to stream a kicker off the waiver wire every single game. It is very easy to stream a defense off the waiver wire every single game. And streaming just means that you're going to pick up a defense that has a good matchup and play them each and every week. With kickers, what I like to do is target high over-under games, good offensive game environments, specifically a kicker from a good offensive team as well makes a lot of sense. With defenses, you just pick on bad quarterbacks. You pick on low-scoring game environments. You pick on offenses who turn the football over a lot. And it's just bonus points if the kicker or the defense is a actual good real-life kicker or good real-life defense. It's the most replaceable position in fantasy football. So if you do still play with kickers and defenses, I get it's nice to have Justin Tucker or whatever or the Ravens defense, but if you're diligent and you're a committed fantasy manager, you can very easily create a better kicker production spot in your lineup by streaming good matchups and picking your spots to pick good defenses, pick good kickers every single week. I literally break down the best streamers at defense and kicker in the Matchups That Matter video every Thursday throughout the season. So definitely be sure to subscribe to the channel to make sure you get access to that if you still play with defenses and with kickers. So lots of value packed into this video. Hopefully you guys did learn something here. I always learn something every time I do this video, even though I've been playing fantasy for a long time. I'm 100% confident that you learned something here. So if you did, leave a like down below, subscribe to the channel. If you are new around here, we got everything you need to help you take down your fantasy football league mates this year. You will get even more value in our draft guide though. As I mentioned previously, head to underdogfantasy.com, follow the link down below in the pinned comment, use code FSE when you sign up, deposit a minimum of $10 and get our draft guide and our rookie guide and our all 22 film breakdowns for free. In 2024, you can't even get a Big Mac combo for $10 anymore, and we can help you win your fantasy league for just $10, and you can win money with that $10 when you sign up for Underdog with it. And if you already have an Underdog account, or maybe you did this last year and that's why you can't get our draft guide this year, sign up a friend, sign up your spouse, sign up a family member and have them forward you the email access to the draft guide. And if you can't play where you live in Underdog Fantasy, head to flockfantasy.com, use code FSE to get all of our rankings, all of our draft guides, all of our bonus content over there. Start your 7-day free trial today and also sign up for a monthly or an annual subscription. Get 30% off with that code FSE. And support for this video came from Aura. Like I said, protect your families with the best cybersecurity out there for a fraction of what you think it should cost as well. It's a very affordable app, very affordable service. And follow our link in the description down below, aura.com/fantasystockexchange, to get started on your 2-week trial today. Head down below there if you guys are interested. But with that being said, peace out and we'll talk to you soon.